Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus.
Irk me to my soul because I own a house now. I own a house now. And our garage is being worked on, and there's trucks pulling through my yard and leaving ruts, and I got the van stuck a couple Sundays ago, and there's a big old rut in my side yard, and I hate the mud. I hate the rain. I'm thankful for days like this. I'm thankful that I've got good vision, and I can see all the beautiful colors that God created, and I can see the animals and the deer running, because don't let this world coax you into believing that this is all happenstance, that Amen. Everything you see was just created by atoms coming together and forming living beings, that some big bang happened because there was pressure built up in the universe. What happened was God created everything that we know and everything that we see, and He did it masterfully. He didn't just throw it together like how I would throw together a English 101 essay an hour before class. He had everything intentionally thought out. Every piece of your body works in harmony to make you even just move your finger or bat your eyelashes, whatever it may be. God did it. And don't forget that He did it for you. Amen. He put the breath in our lungs. He gave us the walk that we use to get around. He gave us the conscience, the thoughts in our brain that help us decide if we're going to make good decisions or bad decisions. Jesus, the Lord, He set us apart in creation by giving us His own spirit, His own breath. Not like any of the other animals He created, any other beings He created. He gave us His spirit. He gave us His breath. He called us to be His people. And today I'm going to preach a very special message, and it's special because it is for you, and it's for me. This message is special for you, who you are today. I don't care what situation you have going on at home. I don't care what problems you have, what you're facing, who you feel like you are, who you're trying to be. This message is for you because this was intended to be universal by God Himself. Today I'm going to be preaching about the crucifixion, something I don't want any of us to forget about, something I want us to know about and to think about. And so today, if you would, for just a few minutes, lend me your attention, and I believe the Lord is going to speak to us and bring some things to light in our lives today. So, would you go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word? I'm going to start reading in Matthew 27. Verse 19. I'm going to read down to 37, and that seems like a lot of verses, but some of them are rather short, and I believe we'll get through it. Somebody say amen. Amen. When you get there, give me an amen. Now, it'll be on the screen, so. And it says, when He was set down on the judgment seat, He being Pilate, Pontius Pilate, His wife sent unto Him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? Anybody got a guess who that just man is? Jesus of Nazareth. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of Him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? Basically, which one of these men, both accused, one was a murderer, Barabbas, and the other was Jesus of Nazareth, who was, as we know, blameless. He asked, which one would you want me to release? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let Him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath He done? But they cried out the more, saying, let Him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands. He took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And I think that's rather ironic because they didn't know what they were asking for. They were asking for exactly what Jesus came to do, Bobby. He was going to pour His blood on their generations. No longer was He going to be Jehovah looking over the children of Israel, the only people that at that time saw Him as the one true God. We always think, why are the children of Israel so special? Well, it's because they're the only people who recognized God as the one true God. Everybody else was caught up in their own gods and their own idols and their own statues. The children of Israel believed that Jehovah was the one true God, just like we believe God is the only God that there is. So that's why the children of Israel are so special, and the Lord looked over them as Jehovah, bringing them out, being a provider for them while they were in the wilderness wandering, while they were in captivity of Egypt and captivity over and over again until we finally find them in captive of the Roman Empire. He came down as Jesus to die for their sins, and now they are calling for Him to be crucified, and a Roman governor can't find any fault in Jesus because He's done nothing wrong. So, let's pray. I'm going to catch up to this later. I'm getting a little carried away. Let's pray right now. Let's ask God to speak to us. Lord, I ask today that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, I know You have a plan, and I have no plans of getting in way of what You want to do in this place. Lord, I know there are souls in here today that need to hear about what You have done for us. Lord, and it doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what we're caught up in. This is universal, and it applies to every part of our life, Lord. Lord, Your blood is amazing because it's not a solid, Lord. It can fit in anything. It can fit in anywhere. It can fit in any crack and any crevice, and it can heal and it can mend. So right now, Jesus, I'm calling upon Your Spirit to come in this room. Lord, bless us today with Your presence. Help us to understand Your Word and fill Your Spirit in this room. Right now, Jesus, in Your wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know I didn't read everything I was going to read, but I'm going to continue to read it and let you guys sit down for a second because I realized I had a lot to say through this and I didn't want to keep you standing. So before I go any further, I will introduce my title, and that is His Blood Was For Me. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, His blood was for me. Jesus' blood was for me. So I did set up a little bit of a backstory. How many know the story of the crucifixion of Jesus? How many know what happened? How many know why? Why did they kill a just, innocent man? Why, Alexis?
Because they're dumb.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that. But politically, Jesus was a revolutionary. Jewish law, the prophets in the Old Testament, they talked over and over again about a Messiah that would come and deliver Israel from their oppressors. And Jesus was the Messiah. He was the embodiment of God in the flesh. And the Jewish people thought that their Messiah, their Savior, was going to come, and just like every other Savior before them, you see, many times before Jesus came, He called on someone to stand up in a time of need and fight back with a sword the oppressors of Israel. But this time, God came Himself. And He didn't bring a sword. He could have. He totally could have. And even being God, He could have just smote the enemy and showed up to a clean slate and restored His people. But He had a perfect, particular plan for the children of Israel. No longer was it going to be some Benjamite. No longer was it going to be some son of whoever. He was going to come Himself, put Himself in the royal bloodline of David, the king. And He was going to save His people from their sins. But politically, like I said, He was a revolutionary. The Sanhedrin, the high priests, the Pharisees, they thought that He was going to be a threat to them because He was changing and showing them the truth in the law that they had twisted. You see, the high priest They understood and read the law of Moses. But what they did was they took it and twisted the law so that they look better to the people than they actually are. So that they could get taxes from the people. Taxes on sacrifice and taxes in the temple, which is not what God had ordained in the beginning to happen. And Jesus, he came and he overthrew the money changers that were in the temple. He came and he preached with a new authority that was greater than the authority that the high priests had. When Jesus preached, people listened, not just out of having to listen, but because something inside them was calling out because Jesus was preaching something they had never heard before. It was more than just someone standing up in the front of their temple and reading from the law of Moses. It was something genuine. It was something powerful. It was like fire that would go inside of them and persuade them that something is up with Jesus. Amen. And it was the vipers, as the Bible would call them, the Sanhedrin, the high priests, the Pharisees, these people who were the leaders of the children of Israel, who were supposed to be the interpreters of the law for them, but they were twisting it. It was these people who saw him as a threat. So, like the cowards that they were, they called on the Roman Empire to do their dirty work. Because while they were not very just men, they still followed the law of Moses, and the Ten Commandments let us know that thou shalt not kill. So I'm sure they were trying to follow the law and keep up their image to the people. So they called upon the Roman Empire to take matters into their own hands and get rid of the problem that they saw, to get rid of Jesus. So Jesus was innocent. And we know that, but at that time, they really didn't think that. They had him brought before Pilate, who was the governor of Judea. And they had Romans take this judgment matter into their hands. The same God who formed this shapeless, barren universe. The same God who put the stars in the sky and hung the planets in orbit. The same God who separated the land from the sky and created the horizon that we see in the bodies of waters that we fish out of and swim out of and draw water from. The same God who put fish in those seas and birds in the air, beasts in the field and forests. The same God who breathed his spirit into man to give us life was the man that they were condemning to death. We were created in his image, formed by his hand, and through the story of the crucifixion, we were bought with his blood. Not only did Jesus give us life in the beginning, but he also made sure that we would have a more abundant life, free from the power of sin. How many parents would do anything in this room for their children right now? How many big brothers would do anything for their little brothers and little sisters in this room? How many big sisters? Aunts, uncles. God was willing to do anything for the creation that he loved. No more was he going to throw a flood on the planet to rid sin. He came himself to rid sin. He had a plan to have blood shed for sin. It wasn't the blood of a sheep or a goat or an ox, as it had been many times before, sacrificed, but it was himself that was sacrificed for our sins. And it wasn't in the similar fashion that God used to create this world as he used to die for this world. Jesus didn't enter this world as the creator. He didn't come to take the throne and rule as a king in luxury and royalty. Although, as I mentioned earlier, as the son of Joseph in the lineage of King David, he had a right to the throne. He could have picked up the sword. He could have fought back the Roman Empire. And he could have reestablished the throne over Israel. And he could have ruled his people. But it wasn't just about the children of Israel. Because Jesus, unlike we, he can see everything. And he knew up until this moment that not only was he going to die for the children of Israel, but he was going to die for the Gentiles. And if you didn't know it, a Gentile, somebody that's not Jewish, that's you and me today. He died for us, just like he died for his chosen people. Amen. Yep. Jesus, who was God in the flesh, he preached with authority and perfection that astounded the scribes, Pharisees, and priests. A message that moved the people to follow him. A message that wasn't just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. He preached a new law. He preached forgiveness of sins and showed throughout Judea miracles, signs, and wonders. Not one time did Jesus commit sin, but the whole time he preached truth, and he had an understanding of the law of Moses that the Pharisees and the priests did not. As I mentioned, they twisted the law to their favor rather than seeking the real truth from God to understand and pursue it better. They had all the prophets, all the voices of God in their lives slaughtered because they wanted to have matters in their own hands. They wanted control. They were vipers who slithered around as hypocrites, bending the interpretation of the law from God to keep the people under control. And Jesus said that it was going to go on no longer. Because when the temple was made, it was made to be a house of prayer. And they were making it a den of thieves. They were stealing from his people. And he decided that that was going to go on no longer. The Romans had more respect for the temples of their gods than the Jewish people had respect for the temple of their God, the only God. Jesus wasn't leading a revolution to war and carrying a sword against the oppressors, but he was releasing them from the hold of the corrupt Jewish leaders and their own fleshly desires and our fleshly desires today. Jesus was innocent and guilty of nothing but being exactly who he said he was when he mentioned and he said, "I and my Father are one." But in the Jewish law, claiming to be who he was blasphemous and caused the priests to condemn him of treason. And rather than take care of Jesus themselves, they called on the Romans. Because they had to uphold their fake image of holiness to the people. So they called on Pilate, who we read about, the governor, to condemn him to death. And being the one who would cast judgment, all Jesus had to do was speak to Pilate about who he really was and defend himself. And Pilate could have got him out of there. He could have took care of the situation. But Jesus, being just like a lamb led to slaughter, he didn't defend himself. He never tried to weasel out of it. And Pilate saw no fault in him, Jesus, the accused. And he tried to strike a deal with the people by offering them as custom to release a prisoner at the time of Passover, thinking surely that they would choose Jesus over a murderer, Barabbas. But I believe Pilate was shocked when the bloodthirsty vipers chose to free a murderer over an innocent man. So Pilate washed his hands as the crowd and priests yelled, "Crucify him." And Pilate speaks to Jesus, and all he has to do is speak up to avoid death. But Jesus knows what he must do. In order for the greater works to come to pass that Jesus told his disciples they would do, he knew that he had to die to give them the power over sin and to set them and to set us free today. He knew for his spirit to dwell in us, he was going to have to give us repentance and remission of our sins. So saying nothing and accepting his death, the Savior was scourged within an inch of his life, meaning he was beaten, he was whipped, until to a point where any more it would have caused his body to shut down and he would have died. They whipped him and beat him and dressed him up like a king and mocked him while he wore purple robes, and they placed a crown of thorns upon his head and pressed it into his brow, and called him the King of Jews. And it was Jesus who, saying nothing and accepting his death, picked up his cross and carried it up the small hill to Golgotha by the roadway. So let that be a reminder to us next time we're working hard and sweat begins to drop and fall in our eyes and it burns. Remember that Jesus, his eyes burned when he was sweating and bleeding, covered in dried blood, carrying the cross to his imminent death. Remember that next time we get a cut on our hand or drop something on our toe or something like that and we're sick and we reach for the ibuprofen, remember that when Jesus was hung on the cross, when they drove those spikes into his hands with a hammer, a tool that you would use to bend metal, something that's way harder than our flesh, when they drove those spikes into his hands to secure him to the cross, and they laid one foot over the other foot and drove a longer spike through his feet and secured him to the cross, when they planted that cross into the ground, and I'm sure his body shook from the weight shifting on to his body as he hung on that cross, they lifted up vinegar and something they called gall on the end of a spear to give him. And I looked it up, and gall at that time was something they offered people who were being crucified as a number. It was something to suppress the pain. And Jesus didn't accept it because he wanted to feel every bit of pain as he hung on the cross and died for our sins. He was not looking to take an easy route. He was not looking for another way to go. He hung on that cross and felt every ounce of pain for our sins so that we could be set free today. He did it for you and he did it for me.
Yes.
And today I don't want us to forget what he did. I don't want us to get so caught up in just trying to make sure that we've got our T's crossed and our I's dotted that we forget that way back when Jesus came in the flesh and he died for our sins on the cross. Yes. At the end of the day, it's what it's all about. Yes. It's about a Savior who gave his life for us. And so in return, it's our reasonable service to give our life for him. Yeah. It's more than just him giving me more and more breath and him blessing me and him helping me through this wicked life, this wicked world that we live in. It's about that he was a God of action when we needed him the most. He didn't send his son to die on the cross for us. He came himself. He was a courageous God to send himself to be the one to feel the pain and the one to bleed at the hands of the Romans, the ones that he died for, those he created.
Amen.
Today I want to remind someone that you are more through Jesus than you could ever imagine to be.
Yes.
Everyone in this room has a calling and has a purpose that is beyond what we could even begin to fathom or even think, because Jesus made it so when he died on the cross for us. He set us apart with his blood and with his sweat as he carried that cross and he hung on it and died for our sins. Yeah. He's given us the power through his death, through his spirit. And when Jesus died, he conquered death and took the power from the grave and from the enemy. And he's given us that power today through his spirit.
Yeah.
Jesus was an innocent man. In no way should he ever have been condemned to death. But he did it willingly for us.
Yeah.
He absolutely did it willingly. It surely could have happened. God, in his infinite wisdom, knows way more than we could ever imagine. I would like to think that with all the events that have come forth in my life, I know that there is a beautiful thread of mercy that runs from Calvary until now.
Amen.
That has kept me and protected me and kept you and protected every single one in this room.
Yeah. Right.
Now at any moment we can call on the name of Jesus and he will show up. That wouldn't have happened if he had not died for us. Tore the veil in two. He came forth and he made himself a man so he could feel the pain that we feel and died on the cross for us. And now we have a direct line to him through his spirit, through the Holy Ghost. We have a direct line to forgiveness through his blood that was shed on the cross for us. And I don't know about you, but I believe there is power in that blood. I believe there is power in his spirit. I have seen that when I call on the name of Jesus, that he is there and he shows up for me. I know that when I need something, when I call on him, he's going to be there. I know that when I'm in financial stress, I know that if I give more than I have, God is going to take care of me.
Amen.
I was talking to my wife the other day. Nothing we have would we have had not been for God.
Amen.
I look back and there's so many times I don't even know how we would have made it. Except that we were giving our tithes and our offering to the church and back to God, what He gave to us. There's no way we would be where we are right now today without that. When our garage burnt down, I'm a firm believer that if we hadn't been giving tithes and blessing the kingdom of God through what He blesses us with, we would have never got back anything that was ours. It would have never been built back better. But it was because God was blessing us.
Amen.
He was looking out for us. He was watching over us. And even through one of the hardest tragedies in my life, God has still provided for me and my wife something we could have never even thought about happening.
Amen.
In the worst time of my life, He still made a way.
Amen.
And I'm more than thankful that I know that in those tiny blessings, I can look back to the great price that He paid for me on Calvary.
Yeah.
Amen. He bought us with a price, the price of death, something we can't imagine. This world is infatuated with suicide. It's infatuated with dying. But we could not imagine what happens when we take our last breath and our heart beats for the final time on this planet, in this existence. And Jesus went that far for us so we don't have to. He felt what it was like to give up the ghost and give up His last breath on the cross for us. So we don't have to ponder those things, because He's given us power over those things. And when we do have questions about what happens when we die, and we imagine what it would be like to take our own lives, we can think back to the cross when Jesus let Himself die for our sins, and we can know that we don't have to, because He's given us power over that. There is power in the name of Jesus. He didn't come and die as a coward, not willing to fight back. He came and died with a greater mission. It was something that we can't fathom. Because when somebody hits us, we like to hit back twice as hard. But Jesus was taking beating after beating and pain after pain, and not once did He even cry out because it hurt so bad.
Yeah.
And we think that when our friends are talking about us behind our back, we've got to meet them at the locker.
Yeah. Come on.
We all know what happens in the hallways.
Yeah.
But that's not how it's got to be. It doesn't have to be like that. Because God has given us a greater way.
Right.
He's given us a way, a pattern that we can recreate. And that's the pattern of showing mercy. That's the pattern of trying to really change this world. And we're not going to change it through force and through anger. And not change it by forcing ourselves on people. But it's going to come by really showing them what it's like to be loved and to love. And that is what Jesus did for us on the cross. It wasn't the death of a coward. It was the death of a true conqueror, a true king, a true strategist.
Yeah.
Jesus was an amazing strategist. Everything He did was particular. Everything He did was for a certain reason. He talked to who He talked to for a reason. He healed who He healed for a reason. And He made sure that when He healed them, that He told them to just go forth and tell them about what He had done. Not once did He sing His own praises. He allowed the people to talk for Him. And even after He had died, the Romans that hung Him on that cross, the people that were there, they were the ones who proclaimed that truly this was the Son of God. Truly there was something different about this Jesus of Nazareth. And we know what it was today. We know what was so different about the one they called the Christ. We know that He was God in the flesh. We know that He was the Redeemer of the house of Israel. He was the one that they were looking for, and they were blinded by their own sin and couldn't see it. And today I'm hoping that somebody in this room would take off the scales on their eyes and begin to look and see that Jesus is the one we are looking for. It is so easy to get caught up in this world. You get caught up with boyfriends and get caught up with girlfriends and forget that God is the one that is going to fill the hole in our hearts.
Yeah.
He's the one that's going to heal the sickness in our bodies. He's the one that's going to change our generations and fix what is going on in our lives. He is the answer to our addictions. He is the answer to our problems, to our depression, and to our anxiety. And His name is Jesus, and His blood was for you, and it was for me. If you think that your sin is too great, that His blood can't cover it, then you are wrong today. If you think you've done something so perverse, so gross, so nasty, so disgusting, so unethical, God can forgive you of that sin today. As fierce and as gross as sin is, God is even greater and even better and even stronger than that. Because He has the power over death. He has the power over the grave. And He is here today for us. He died for us. He hung on the cross for us. He gave us His Spirit so that we could have power over death, over hell, and over the grave, over addiction, over depression, over anxiety, over this world. So today, as I bring this to a close, my wife comes to play. I truly want us to not forget, as we begin to get caught up in planning and we get caught up in living out this life in a new year, 2023. We don't need to forget that way back when Jesus really came and He died for us. History books would just call Him a rabbi. They would just call Him a teacher of the law. They would just call Him a normal man. But we know Him as God. We know Him as the one who died for our sins. That pain, that hurt in your life, that black spot of sin that nobody knows about, that you want to keep covered up, God died for that. He died for our sins. He died for the mistakes that we make, the failures that we have. He knew that that would happen, so He had a plan for it. Because He doesn't want to count anybody out. He wants to use everybody in this room. So His blood was the great equalizer on the cross. Because in the eyes of God, we're all the same. We're His creation. We're His beloved. He loves every single one in this room. He loves every person, no matter your background, no matter what you're going through, no matter what sins we commit, no matter what pain we're in, God loves us. He gave His life on the cross for us. And I don't want to forget. I don't want to get too caught up in trying to cross my T's and dot my I's and make sure that I'm providing for my family, make sure that I'm doing what I need to do to progress the church and help Harvest House, that I forget that truly at the end of the day, God died for me. I don't want to make such a checklist out of living for God that I forget that He died on the cross for my sins, that He was crucified for me, that He bled for me so I could be forgiven of the things that I struggle with, of the problems that I've had in my life. So today, I'm going to open up these altars. And I hope that someone would come to this altar and seek forgiveness in this place. And know that you will be forgiven when you ask God to forgive you. Expect that God's going to change your life when you call on His name. Expect God's going to forgive you when you ask forgiveness for sin. He's not got too many things going on to forget about us. He's not forgotten you. He knows who you are. He created you, and today He is waiting for you to come and to fall at His feet and to cry out and finally accept what He has been asking you to do. Let Him today not just be the author of your life, but also submit to Him so He can be the finisher to bring forth everything to pass that He has for you. So as you pray, I'm going to end this with prayer. Lord, God, You know way more than we know. Lord, the Bible says that we only see in part. Lord, I know that there has been failure. I know there has been mistake. I know there has been horrible things that I have done, Lord, and horrible things that have been done to me, God, but I believe that your blood, your spirit, it can cover every mistake. It can cover every failure. It can cover any fault, Lord, and I know that I don't have to come and I don't have to pay you. I don't have to show up with something worthy of trading you for your blood. It is freely given to me because you bought me with your blood on Calvary. Lord, I can fall before your feet with nothing to offer but praise, and you'll forgive me of my sins. I can fall on my face at the altar, and I can call on your name, and you'll show up because you love me, not because you have to. It's not your obligation. You didn't have to forgive me of my sins. You didn't have to fill me with your spirit, but you did it, God. You did it anyway, despite who I am, despite who I've been, and despite maybe what I'll do in the future, Lord. But I know that you love me for who I am today, and I give you all that I have. Lord, I pray right now that someone at this altar, someone, Lord, I know that you have been calling. You have been trying, Lord, to get into their life. I pray right now that somebody will let you in, Jesus. Whatever walls have to break, whatever chains have to break, God, let your will be done. Lord, because your blood is greater. Your name is greater. Your blood can cover any sin. It can cover any addiction. It can cover any sickness. In the name of Jesus, have your way today. In Jesus' name.
On the cross of my pain, and the guilt and the shame, Jesus bore my suffering to the grave to make me free. Shit!